You guys watch the Tour de France?
No, but I watched the AI-generated version of the Tour de France.
What is,
what is the AI-generated
version of the Tour de France?
It's probably exactly what you think it would be like, but it's like more limbs than are possible, and like one person's riding like four bicycles at the same time, and it's great.
Maybe that's how Lance was cheating.
Right. Yeah, four bikes. That's right, yeah.
Lance is AI.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Joe Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elisa McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Patrick slipped into a little NPR voice there. Did you know that?
I don't
Welcome
know.
Welcome back to Beyond Sunday. This
are
is
you auditioning?
Patrick Nazaroff.
Maybe.
Gotta have that yeah. soft, right. newsy.
NPR, I'm sure.
Welcome
is right.
to Beyond Sunday.
This week on Throughline.
That's not Throughline.
No, it's not.
I don't listen to NPR.
You're missing
oh,
out.
Wow.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, you know. One of those people. Not into the NPR.
You got to be really clear when you say one of those people when referring to people who don't listen to NPR.
I'm actually not one of those people.
You can go a lot of directions.
What do we mean?
One of the other people. You know?
Just a person who doesn't listen to NPR. All right. Yes. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I saw Joe Biden has officially dropped out. Looks
sure.
like
oh,
Harris
yeah.
is going to be the nominee.
Yeah. So. Trump-Harris. It's an interesting new election that we're going to
hear. I'm going to say this. I want to live in less interesting times. When do we get to the boring history? That's what I want to be in.
Yeah.
I want to be in the boring parts. I don't want any of my life that I'm witnessing in history books. And I got too much already.
Right. Like,
it's always going to be there, man.
Like every day it feels like, oh my gosh. Will I have to talk to my kids about this one day when they ask me questions?
Yes.
Maybe I should listen to NPR more then.
Maybe you should. You should be ready.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk about that today.
No. Because
what are we going to say?
Yeah. I don't know. That's who's running. That's what we know.
That's the facts. We got that out of the way. Sure. Next.
We are going to talk about conformity.
All right.
But first, we have a special day here on Sunday.
We do.
It's Pastor David's birthday.
Oh, shucks.
It's not mine. You missed mine. It's your birthday.
We didn't miss yours. We said
you
happy
here.
Birthday to you. Yeah, you were gone.
You didn't.
That's fair.
You said it late. Yeah.
Yes. That tracks.
Yes. It is your birthday on record day.
Day of recording, yes.
And I got you a gift.
Okay, what'd you get me?
It's dubious about whether or not it's actually a gift.
Should I open it here?
So we have tried Cranch.
We have.
On the podcast.
Oh my God,
mm-hmm.
This looks awful.
Now I have you.
Both of those look bad.
Pickle ketchup.
Oh,
and
pickle mustard
and pickle mustard.
Oh my,
So we're going to do.
So
for those of you at home listening.
Let's all clarify.
What do you think we're dipping into this?
Yeah. I had some tortilla chips in my office, so that's what we're dipping into it.
This is just bad.
Stale tortilla chips, to be clear.
They're not that stale.
Medium level stale.
They were given to me and they were kept in their package, and I opened them yesterday. The package.
Oh, so okay. You opened the bag yesterday?
But it might be, the bag might be old.
Yeah,
know?
Sure.
All right.
So I think first we just need to describe. Like the ketchup looks runny, but you know, looks like normal ketchup. Shake this up. Yeah. I think that's going to make the difference. All right. The mustard here.
It is Heinz pickle ketchup. And
that is a disturbing color of yellow that this mustard is coming out. It's
that's not enough.
You know, like when your baby poops for the first time.
No, not for the first time, because the first time it's all that black.
That's true. Yeah. But like the first one that's actually like a
real
proper
poop. Yeah.
Poop. Yeah.
That is definitely
that's
color that we're approaching here.
All right. So we're going to do a little taste test.
By we, he means Patrick is going to do a little taste test.
This is for you.
This is your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes. I am now old enough and wise enough to know that I do not need to give in to peer pressure.
All right. We're all going to do a little taste test, and then we'll give you a review. All right.
I don't have, where's my, like, I need a beverage to
you don't have one either.
Yeah, we can pause it.
Eat more chips. Okay.
All right,
there's a sink in the bathroom.
All right, let's try them. What do you want to try first? Mustard or ketchup?
I'm gonna get the mustard out of the way because that seems worse.
All of this seems terrible.
All right, let's get in there. All right, here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink. Clink.
Well, it's bad.
Okay. It is
It has an afterburn.
Like the smell of pickle lingers in your mouth. Oh God, it's awful. This is terrible. Why? Oh.
I can see eating that on a hot dog. I like relish and mustard on a hot dog, so I can see it.
No.
That's
I hate
probably,
pickles.
That's probably the
general.
Only thing I could eat. All right, let's go for the ketchup.
Don't make me do it again.
Yeah. No, we're not making you do that again. We're doing the ketchup.
Why are you getting so much on your chip?
I want to taste it.
I tasted it just fine.
I
need an informed decision.
I need a palate cleansing chip ready to go.
Are you double dipping your chip?
Yeah.
Now it just became gross.
I turned it over the other way.
I can't eat this anymore. It's been double dipped. Right?
Okay. That's the gross thing about this.
All right, let's try the ketchup.
That is way better, but still not good.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I'm not sure I would eat
you
that
like
with.
This?
Nothing about this is appealing. This is
I think
all
the ketchup
awful.
Was pretty good.
Are you taking these home with you?
No, they're a gift for Pastor David.
I'm not taking them, so you can have them.
I'm going to put them in the church refrigerator with a little note that says, Pastor David's favorite condiments.
You're fired.
All right, let's get to our news story here. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Blah.
Okay. I'm going to give you, this is going to be a choose your own adventure news story. Oh. I got two that I like both of them, but I don't know which one to go with. So, snakes or bacon? Those are your options.
Snakes or bacon?
I think I know what the snake story is.
I want bacon. I always
bacon.
Choose bacon,
let's
right?
Go food
it's
news.
Like it's, if you choose to be Batman, always choose Batman, right? You know.
Sure. It's not actually about bacon. The that's food bacon. It is about Kevin Bacon.
I'm still good with it. Always choose bacon. I'm fine with this decision.
You know, you're familiar with Kevin Bacon?
I am.
No, who's he?
Footloose.
Footloose?
Amongst other things. I was helping our listeners, Elise.
He's an actor. You know that
I am 6 degrees removed, allegedly.
Everybody is 6 degrees exactly. removed from Kevin Bacon, allegedly. Allegedly.
Okay.
I believe there is a app out there that you could kind of type in someone's name that's famous, and it will find the six degrees to Kevin Bacon.
All right, the 6 degrees app.
I am. What is it? Would it be 1 degree removed from Clint Eastwood?
How's that work?
If I know somebody,
I think
who
1 degree
works
means you know Clint Eastwood.
Okay, yeah. So 2 degrees yeah. removed from Clint Eastwood.
Oh, okay, that's yeah. pretty
one degree is the direct relationship.
And Beyonce.
2 degrees from Beyonce?
Mm-hmm. I am 2 degrees from Beyonce as well.
Ooh.
Well, do you guys have the same friend?
I know a friend who served Beyonce coffee at Starbucks.
Okay.
So
that's solid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No, my husband's cousin choreographs some of her music videos.
Okay, that's probably a closer relationship than coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah. Same.
I am 1 degree removed from Screech from Saved by the Bell. So.
Oh, you've met Screech.
I have met Screech. I've seen him do stand-up, and it was awful.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I have a photo of me and Screech.
Still cool.
How could you not? Cool. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, he was really bad. Very vulgar.
Interesting.
Trying to break the Screech.
Sure.
They did introduce him as Screech, and he was not on board. He was not okay with that. He was very mad.
Not off to a good start.
He was also 2 hours late. So,
ooh.
You know. That's a fun
I
story.
Feel like Screech doesn't have the kind of name
yeah.
and pull to be 2 hours late. So
I mean, Screech
like,
does, but whatever the actor's name is.
Real name
is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Kevin Bacon. All right. So... He posted in Vanity Fair, an interview there, he discussed his longtime status as a highly recognizable star and how he recently tried to see how the other half lived.
How charming.
Boy, Kevin.
Yeah. He said, I went to a special effects makeup artist and consultant and asked him to make me a prosthetic disguise. And once outfitted in...
Wait, a prosthetic what?
Disguise.
You heard him.
Disguise. And once outfitted in incognito, he went to the Grove, one of the most visited and populous commercial centers in Los Angeles, and was thrilled to discover that nobody recognized him.
So he undercover bossed it.
He undercover bossed it. Okay. Undercover bacon did.
Yeah. I could go for some undercover bacon.
Yeah. That's like a stuffed burger and there's bacon inside.
Yes.
Like, ooh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Bacon surprise.
Undercover. I'm on board with that. He was thrilled at first, to be clear, but soon that faded. People were kind of pushing past me, not being nice. Nobody said I love you, and I had to wait in line. Aww. I don't know, to buy a coffee or whatever.
Poor guy.
I was like, this sucks. I want to go back to being famous.
At least he's honest about it.
Me too, yeah. Man. Me too. Yeah.
That's what about the end of his little anecdote about being a regular person.
Being normal.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, Kevin.
Kind of sucks.
I've never been famous, but I'm on board. I think it does suck.
Yeah.
When I go
sucks to be normal.
When I also out, want to go back to being famous.
Nobody tells me that they love me.
No
one's walking up. I love you. Right. And you don't have to wait in line to get coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
I will say I never wait in line to get coffee.
Because you don't drink coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Do
all
people
right.
tell you they love you just randomly?
My family does.
Mall?
Does that count?
Once in church, you got to shout it out
my
to
mom
you.
Says
I did
she loves
shout
me.
It.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
story for another day.
Yeah. So what do you think? Would you recognize Kevin Bacon if you saw him?
Like, yeah.
Probably.
Maybe, I'm going to say.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if we're like on the street and I was like in Hollywood or someplace where I'm like on the lookout for stars, like if we ran into each other like in the mall here in the Woodlands, I'd be like, that guy kind of looks like Kevin Bacon. Yeah. And I probably wouldn't be able to say like it is for sure, it is or not, it's not, but I'd be able to say like, yeah, it looks like Kevin Bacon. Could be.
Guy Pearce was on a flight with me on the way back from Los Angeles one time. So that was, and I feel like that's way more obscure than Kevin Bacon. Yeah, and I recognized him. So
nice.
Okay. All right. That's not too bad. Yeah. Yep. Now, did you get his autograph or a photo?
I didn't. I was trying to be cool, you know, like, sure. I'm not going to fawn. And I'm not going to fawn over Guy Pearce anyway. I don't like.
Sure.
Could I name two movies he's in? Probably not.
Memento.
Memento is the only one that I could come up
with. L.A. Confidential.
So. Yeah.
Iron Man 3.
He's in Iron Man 3?
What is he? Who is he in Iron Man 3?
He's the villain.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert for a movie that's 10 years old. the third Iron Man movie.
Right. Should we go into Memento spoilers too?
No, Memento's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend. So, there you go. All right. Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin.
Sorry you had to live like the rest of us.
Right.
Yeah.
That experiment of being a peasant.
Okay. I can still smell this, so I got to move
these things
farther away from me here.
The whatever pickle nonsense.
Yeah. That pickle stuff is pungent and disgusting.
All right. So let's get to our main topic.
All right.
On conformity from our friends at Relevant.
Conformity.
All right. Let's load in here.
Conform to the nonconformists.
Shun the nonconformists.
Should conformity be the goal for Christians? By is it Colin or Colleen?
How's it spelled?
C-O-L-L-I-N.
That's Colin.
Colin.
Colin Hanson. By Colin Hanson.
Atta boy, Colin.
There you go. So what do you think? Should conformity be the goal for Christians?
No.
No.
Do you want to say yes just for funsies? I'll say yes and we'll argue.
You're going to argue the yes point?
Say, sure, why not? I'll take
maybe
the yes
a level side. Of ish, you know, like... conformity-ish, you know, like...
But is it the goal? Like, are there things that we should agree about? Sure.
Hmm.
But is it the goal?
Is agreeing about things conformity?
Hmm. Clearly, we're going to have an interesting debate today, listeners. Welcome back to Beyond Sunday. Let's see what we got. All right, what's Colin got for us?
All right, Colin. In theory, we all desire unity in the church. I'm glad we're already saying, in theory.
Yeah. Starting off strong.
I mean, I guess like in reality, like we do all desire unity in the church, but usually that means like want everybody to agree with me, right? Like,
sure.
Right.
Like I want that kind of unity where everybody's aligned with my vision of who Jesus is, what the church is like, and what are our goals for the world.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of us want to say like, yeah, we want unity with somebody else's vision. We're all pretty sure that our vision is right. That's fair. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
No, mine is right. So
that helps.
Well, all right, podcast over. If you like what you heard.
Yeah. Call me if you have any questions.
We talk about reconciling our differences and joining forces, but often we actually mean that other Christians need to appreciate and probably adopt our gifts, passions, and expressions of faith.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're convinced that our convictions are correct, and we pick apart those who may care about different things.
Okay.
But unity doesn't just look like conformity. What do we think?
Unity doesn't just look like... Yeah, sure. So far I'm on board.
Yeah.
I think Colin and I are speaking a similar language.
Sure. We all have blind spots. We easily see faults in someone else or other groups, but then struggle to see limitations in ourselves. But unless we learn to see our own faults, we cannot appreciate how God gifts other Christians. And until then, we can't have true unity.
Hmm.
All right. Maybe that's an interesting question here. Like, unless we learn to see our own faults, we can't have true unity. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, so Jesus talks about this, right? And says, don't notice the speck in your neighbor's eye before pulling out the log from your own eye. Essentially saying, like, you're pointing out, he was talking to the Pharisees at the time, right? You're pointing out all these little seemingly meaningless things for other people, and you're ignoring this very big thing in your own life that you're not paying any attention to. So I think there is certainly something to being able to self-reflect enough to notice your own faults, shortcomings, whatever, right? Struggles. Notice those things in yourself before you're trying to, like, conform other people to you or trying to bring other people into what you're doing, right? I mean, this is, I'll stop there for the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that unity kind of demands honesty, right? Like for you to be able to be in a community with somebody, whatever that looks like, you have to be as your actual self and not as what you think yourself might be. Like, it just doesn't really work, and there's no longevity in that. So I think that self-reflection is crucial to unity.
Yeah, I can hear that. And I think this distinction between unity and conformity is important, right? That we can be unified without being conformed to one another, right? I mean, I'm thinking of, like, I don't know, let's say the Boy Scouts for a minute, right? They have certain things that make them unified. They share their uniform. They share their, you know, scout
chants or
yeah, they do things right. Yeah, I was a terrible Boy Scout. I'm sorry. This is going.
They have a code of honor.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were you a scout?
I have written many an Eagle Scout recommendation.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Nailing it. Yeah. All right. So they got the things that make them unified, right? But every scout does different Eagle projects. Scouts have achieved different merit badges.
Their sashes all look different with their different badges.
Yeah, sashes all look a little different. They've gone on different trips and adventures, right? Had different experiences. Every troop is different. And so you come out and there's a certain unity in the sense of you know what scouting means and what, well, they know what scouting means. I clearly don't. And how it connects you to other scouts, but you've all had your own unique experience within that. And I think, you know, the church could do a lot to learn from something like that, right? That we have our own unique selves that we're bringing into this, but there are things that unify us with one another.
Yeah. Whenever we have talked in our youth program about harder topics, you know, I always like to strive, like, we have unity, not uniformity. Like, we are going to be able to disagree in this room, but we're unified on a few things.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, mutual respect, love for Jesus, and a desire to see good, you know, in this world through the power of Jesus. So, you know, those are the things, you know, we're looking at what are the things that unify us, but we're going to have differing points of view, especially about more controversial topics. You know, the further we get from like maybe the central teachings of Jesus, we're going to have more and more dissent amongst us.
Right.
Yeah. And that's okay. Right. Like, you know, it's hard to say like as a church, like when the dissent is at kind of that core of like, is Jesus Son of God? Is Jesus through his death and his resurrection, or is humanity redeemed? Like, those are the things, like, it's hard to stay unified if we're not agreeing about those things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's got to be some core right there. All right, so Colin's going to do some interesting twists here.
Okay. So, what we got, Colin?
I read this article and I was like, ooh. It's a little nosedive.
They can't all be golden. That's fine.
Based on God's gifts to you and your experiences and personality, you probably fit more naturally in one of three categories.
Oh, excellent. I'm being put into a category. Hey, yeah. I love it. All right.
By the way, he's offering very little description of why or how these are the three.
No sources cited. Yeah.
These are the three categories Christians fit into.
Okay, I'm ready. What are
they? So we're going to see which one do you fit into.
Okay. Do I get to self-identify, or are we going to put one another in?
You could self-identify.
Okay, cool.
Number one.
Like a Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
Maybe God has softened your heart with compassion for the broken, weak, and abused. That's number one. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with that.
I'm soft-hearted. Yeah.
Sure.
I cry in movies.
I cry.
Yes. Now, in
and commercials.
Yeah. In the quiz to find out which three categories, that's one of the questions. Do you cry in movie?
Yeah.
Strongly agree?
Yeah.
Somewhat agree? Neutral?
No, it's got to like name the movie that you cried at, right? That's, yeah. It's got to, like, did you cry at The Incredibles? Versus,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, versus did you cry at some other, like, you know, I don't know,
for me, it's truly really all movies.
Right.
Just about every one of them.
Yeah.
What movie makes you cry there, Elise?
Oh, I mean, lots of them. I cried at a commercial for
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of for Lincoln sales event, summer sales event the other day.
Wait,
it just really
Lincoln,
got
the
me.
The car company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
It's just like a really sweet moment.
Yeah, they really
they
moved
like
you.
Jump off a cliff together and like.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I once
what for a car. Like, they Thelma and Louise did, they held hands and jumped off a cliff.
The commercial makes no sense, but it's like a really pretty, like, they're hanging. Just watch it.
Yeah, uh-huh, for sure.
Okay. All right, soft hearted, number one. Number two, or he has gifted you with great courage to stand with truth.
Those are not, okay, so you can't be both of those. You got to be one or the other.
You're going to fit one more naturally.
You're either going to be soft-hearted and care about people, or you're going to have courage and stand for truth.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Okay.
I'm always so skeptical on these kind of things, because I'm like, all right, but who's defining truth here?
Right, and now,
like,
Colin is. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's like,
all right.
I've known a lot of people who say they have great courage to stand for truth, and they're really just buttholes, so.
Number three.
Yeah, move it along.
He's commissioned you with particular zeal and effectiveness to make disciples in all the nations. Those are your three.
Pass.
Man, one, two, three.
If those are my three, I guess I'm going one. I don't, right? Yeah. It's,
I think by being a pastor, you got to go three, right? Like, you're like.
Yeah, but we're not evangelical.
It's in the name.
I know, but we're like not.
I mean,
this is a point of
making
confusion.
Disciples is not just converts.
That's fair. That's fair.
You but know,
yeah, I think that there's a certain amount of pastoring that comes from the fact that I have a softened heart for the weary and the broken. Like, I don't know. I just think that that's where I... These are three stupid categories, all right?
So. Do you feel brave to stand for truth?
Yeah, but I don't think that's like the only thing that got... I don't know. This is... I'm already getting angry at this.
You ever like get one of these articles?
It's my birthday and you made me eat pickles.
And it's, yeah.
Put me in a box.
He needs a minute.
Just needs some time.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know this, that these are the three categories that everybody's going to fall into.
I missed this part of
Colin is giving me,
gospel.
Revealing me something completely new.
Is this in the New Testament?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh. All right. So I don't think that everybody is in one of those three categories.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
In fact, I would imagine if I were to think, what are the three kinds of Christians? I'm not quite sure I would land on these three.
Yeah.
That's like, those are the three.
You know, but those are your choices.
You know, I think, you know, maybe some version of them, but like, I just don't get it. All right. I think all of us said self-identified as number one, though, right?
That's mm-hmm. where I'm self-identified.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. All right, none of us are equally strong in each area. We can't be, but we do need to appreciate that God doesn't work the same way in and through every person.
I can get behind that, yeah.
Yeah.
God definitely does not work the same between every person.
Sure.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
These three categories are bonkers. But I'm
Well, he gets into a thing about... personal trainers and gluttony, and it's really interesting. Like, what, I don't know what brain squirrel he was following for that one in the context of this article, but I was like, whoa.
So let me ask this. If we look at like the early church or even look at the New Testament, right? I mean, there are parts of that where we kind of look and we're like, okay, does that mean conformity, right? Like, I mean, you've got Paul writing, there's no longer Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free nor male nor female, right? Mm-hmm. And there's kind of this vision of like a oneness or the unity of the body of Christ. So what does Paul mean by that that's different than the conformity than we think of today? It's maybe a helpful.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that that's a better question than I think that Colin, no offense, is
a little
raising.
Offense. Yeah,
is raising. Is what does that look like today? Especially when there are truly hundreds of thousands of different Christian denominations.
Yeah.
Right.
Who are all claiming that they're the right one. Like, they're the one that's closest to the truth of Jesus.
Sure.
Like, nobody's like, you know what, Andrew Nation, I don't think we're actually all that close to Jesus. Yeah. You know, we like doing things this way, but...
Yeah, but we're not that close.
Those people over there, I think they're getting... They're a little closer
to
the heart of Jesus. But yeah, you have hundreds of thousands of different Christian denominations scattered about the world who all think they're closest to Jesus.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that, especially as Paul is saying, like, in Christ, there is no male, female, slave, free, Jew, or a Christian.
Yeah.
We're all kind of the same. So I don't know. What do we think?
Well, so I think the unity for me is a big piece. And this goes back to the conversations we've had, Patrick, where you've brought up the point about immigration here in the United States, right? That the majority of people who are immigrating from Central and South America into the United States, causing this immigration crisis along our southern border, are probably Christian, or at least from Catholic Christian backgrounds, right? Culturally, that is a very likely a scenario that the majority of them are Christians. And yet Christians in the United States have been largely just turning their backs and saying like, nope, absolutely not. No immigration, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that is forgetting the unity that we have in Christ and is putting a unity in something else before that. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to have the exact same beliefs or think that every person has to, you know, dress like they're in a cult, right? So we all have the exact same uniform and the exact same words and we don't have to do that. That to me would be conformity. But we do have this centrality of like, before anything else, I recognize Christ is the reason that I love you and is the reason that you love me. And that's what brings us together, right? So across borders, across languages, across faith traditions, we can be unified in Christ. That's where it starts. And so the unity for me helps a lot. But I don't think we do a good job of that. I think we put other things before Christ, and so then we find ourselves divided and wanting people just to look like us.
Yeah,
and I mean, act like us.
Like, at no point in that particular passage of the Bible that I know of does Paul say that we all have to act just the same.
Sure.
Or think just the same.
Sure.
I mean, his big analogy for the church is it's a body, right? Like, and everybody's going to be different and it all works different. And truly saying, like, if you feel like you are a hand, the hand does not get to say to the foot, I don't need you.
Yeah.
Like, he dives deeper into, like, we're all going to be differently gifted, differently abled, and have different goals for the church. And not one is above the other. Like, nobody gets to say to another part of the Christian community, we don't need you.
Yeah.
Maybe even, you know, the appendix of Christ, you know?
Yeah. Even the appendix has a purpose, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Science has yet to discover, but
well, it had a purpose once upon a time.
When it gets inflamed and angry, it can kill us all. Right. Yeah. So you got to keep it cool.
Right. I got a couple of those floating around. Yeah,
we have the body of Christ in church. Like, you seem like an appendix. Right. Just saying. You might destroy us all.
No, I think that's really helpful. I think remembering that. Oh man, I had something and then we got going on the appendix thing and now I lost it. It's all right. I'll come back.
Worth it.
Yeah. the appendix run was, right. was a good one. Yeah.
All right. Can you love a fellow Christian who sins differently than you? This is called again.
Who sins differently than me?
Yeah,
sure.
People really love it when you point out that they sin differently than you do.
You know, I've noticed you and I just, we sin different.
That's a great conversation starter. Your sins are so different. Just curious, why go that route?
I love that sin on you. It's right. so cute. I could never pull that sin off, but it works for you.
Can I borrow it sometime?
That shouldn't be hard. You know, you fall short too. I'm going to say, based on a Christian's over the last 2,000 years, it is hard. Like, it evidently is real hard to love Christians who sin differently than you.
Agreed. Apparently, this is the thing, actually. Yeah. My sin's fine.
When you say, should it be hard? Maybe it shouldn't be, but like, evidence is showing something else. Yeah, that is real, real hard.
My sin, fine. Your sin, bad, 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 bad.
Right, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's get specific.
Let's get specific.
Yeah.
How specific are we going to get?
This is the personal trainers.
Here we go. If you live in an affluent area where everyone seems to have a personal trainer.
Do you
regularly spend time with Christians outside your neighborhood who are tempted by laziness and gluttony?
Mm.
Or if you live in a middle class community, can you identify close friends who confess their greed and arrogance?
Yeah. You know, when I think of the middle class, I think of greed and arrogance.
Yeah, well,
there are plenty of greedy middle class people.
I mean, there's greedy people everywhere.
Sure,
Are we saying, like, outside that community? You got to go outside your middle class community to find greed and arrogance?
I'm not really clear on what his point is. Is his point that we're supposed to be seeking out nonconformity by seeking out people who are greedy and arrogant or gluttonous and lazy?
We should all have personal trainers.
I'm not...
Well, if you don't...
I'm going to make a suggestion.
That he keeps his day job.
This might be his day job.
What if we
just leave Colin in the past for a moment?
But it's so funny.
I do not disagree, but I'm not clear on where we're going with this at this point.
Maybe he's just trying to say, like, do you seek out community with people who do not think and act like you?
Yeah, which would be an appropriate thing.
And I think that is more interesting.
Let's go with
than
that.
Are you finding people who are lazy and gluttonous?
Right.
And look,
should we be friends
with the lazy? Yes. I want friends. Yeah. So like,
I might even want lazy friends. They sound fun.
You got one right next to you. I think Patrick is owning that for you.
Yeah.
Patrick is here for all your lazy friends.
Befriend the lazy Christian, because I would love a friend.
That's right.
Yeah. For me, this is more of like when I think of like what should we do to strengthen unity within the church. It would be like, do you seek out people who have different maybe race, different points of view, different political ideologies, different economic status, and what can we learn or grow from those people, and not like the idea of like you got to go find a lazy and gluttonous person. Like, you go to McDonald's and be like, who wants to be my friend?
So I think this is helpful for us because one of the things that Lutheran churches in particular are historically really good at is bringing in people who are exactly like us, right? Mm-hmm. We were a cultural denomination, right? We're mostly German, Northern European, Scandinavian, et cetera. And so when we came over to the United States, we all found places that people were like us. It was in many ways in similar fashions to like congregations that are mostly Asian American now, really welcoming in people who are immigrating from Asia today, right?
Sure.
It's a place where we have cultural norms. We can speak our own language. We can eat our own gross foods and things like that. You know, all of those things. But so then as the culture, I just got pickle in my throat. Awful.
Happy birthday.
As the culture around us has changed, the Lutheran Church in particular has said, yeah, of course we want other people who are not German, not Scandinavian to come to our church, and then you can worship and be like us, right? You can come and you can find all the joy in worshiping the way that we have for the last 500 years. And so you can come and learn how to do our songs correctly, and you can learn how to do our communion our way correctly, and you can learn how to whatever. But I think what you're pointing us towards, Patrick, is that unity isn't just found in everyone doing the same thing, right?
Sure.
Unity is found in Christ, in the diversity of the body of Christ, right? So to have a more full, unified representation of the body, the hand needs the foot, needs the kneecap, needs the earlobe, needs the hair follicle, needs the belly button, right? Like all of those parts need to be there. And there are parts of the body of Christ that I would rather not have be a part of the body of Christ, right? There are people who proclaim Christ as their Lord and Savior, who I have to believe are part of the body, who I would rather be like, just get rid of that, right? Like just excise that mole and let it be gone, but it's still there. And so how do we define that diversity and still find our unity in Christ?
Well, I think you bring up an interesting point too about kind of like this idea of like Lutherans, we were really good about kind of forming together in our own our own communities as people immigrated over into the United States. And I think there was value and hope in that.
Absolutely.
Like we needed these cultural our comfort to kind of like we can kind of grow together. And I'm sure a lot of the services that they used to do were in German, you know, or things like that.
I used to work for a First English Lutheran Church because it was the first Lutheran church in that area to speak English and to not be in German.
But then,
interesting.
But then we found out, you know, here we are in 2024, that we are the whitest church in America.
Yeah.
That we have a smaller percentage of Black Americans than the Southern Baptist.
Or just non-white Americans, yeah.
Non-white Americans. Yeah. Than the Southern Baptist Church, who started truly to preserve slavery in the South.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have found a way to incorporate more Black Americans than we have. Like, I think that, you know, like kind of raises some questions, right? Like what did we do wrong that we need to now do right?
Mm-hmm.
And, or what do we need to do differently as we move forward? Right. Like, cause you found yourself in this situation that maybe you started off in this great place that made sense at the time. And now unity has to look different, not just unified based off common ancestry or common language that, you know, our ancestors spoke or that we were speaking, you know, in our first generation Americans. But now we don't want to just stay predominantly white, predominantly tied to a culture that now none of us truly connect to. But we're kind of bound into it anyway.
Yes.
And I think that only happens through intentionality. And it doesn't mean intentionally go and find the lazy and the gluttonous and the greedy and the arrogant.
It's an option, but yeah.
By the way, Colin, you're also lazy and gluttonous and greedy and arrogant, by the way.
Like, and there are probably already lazy and gluttonous people in your congregation, right? Like you probably don't have to go hunt to find lazy people and gluttonous people. Like,
First, you can search your own heart and all those things are already there. There are plenty of people who have a personal trainer who are actually lazy, you know, and gluttonous.
Right.
And they may look fit, but they are equally lazy and gluttonous as somebody who's watching television all day.
Seven deadly sins. We need to get into that one sometime.
I mean, if anything has been misrepresented, I think gluttony is probably towards the top of the list as well, like in terms of cultural context.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I think it does say, like, what is your intentionality, right? Like, what are you doing to, if we're like, you look around your church and there's a body of Christ and we're all kind of like the same thing, how are you connected to the greater body of, like, we're all hand, we're that foot.
Right.
Yeah.
We're that foot.
That's our new motto.
Right. Come to our new rap benefit.
We're that foot.
We're that foot. At the widest church you know.
I've heard us clap in church, right?
Yeah. It ain't great.
We're not great, and we start off strong and fade quickly.
Just got to follow that snare drum, folks. Just follow that snare drum.
Yeah.
Well, I think one thing about unity is that it is about how you are influenced by each other, right? Like, it's not just that, like, we all show up as we are and we remain as we are.
Sure.
And that's that, right? It's we all kind of bounce off of each other. We're all in conversation with one another. And one thing that I maybe have noticed about the Lutheran church is that we don't really do much of that on like a denominational scale. It's like, no, this is the thing. We coined this thing when Martin Luther nailed the theses to the door. Mm-hmm. This is our shtick and we influence everybody else. Come and, you know, we invite people to come experience that with us and say, look how great this is. Mm-hmm. But we're not really in conversation with other denominations in that way.
So denominationally, we are on a, at a local level. We're not, right. And yeah. So there are, we have full communion partners with the United Methodist Church, Episcopal Church USA. So there are those conversations that happen at the denominational level, but it's not carried out on a congregation to congregation basis.
Right.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not here to say, you know, that the ELCA has only done things poorly. I think they've done some great work with kind of outreach and kind of learning from in unity with our LGBTQ partners. Mm-hmm. You know, across the board, I think one of the better churches at kind of reaching out to this community that and welcoming and fully that other churches either cannot or will not do.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing better on these levels. But I think we've definitely missed the mark kind of culturally or racially that we're just somewhat confused about. And I don't think it's going to happen accidentally. It has to happen with the level of intentionality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is probably the more confusing aspect because nobody knows exactly how to do that.
Yeah. But I do think if we're going to give Colin any props for the effort that he made here, it would be the intentionality piece, right? That,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, ignore the gluttony and the lazy, but go look for that person as opposed to just expecting that person to come and find you.
Sure.
You know, go look for unity by finding diversity.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm going to write that down.
right next to where to foot.
No,
foot
I'm not gonna
where to foot at. I'm going to make some shirts.
That's right. Beyond Sunday, where to foot at. All right.
All right.
Are we done making fun of Colin?
You know, he's got some other stuff that's pretty weird, but
yeah.
I think it's good enough.
I don't know if this was... I've not read anything else by Colin. Maybe this was his best effort, but this...
Maybe. First try.
You know, being unpublished and a writer, I look at that and think, oh, man.
Yeah. It hurts a little, doesn't it?
Does.
It hurts a little. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this, you can send all your thoughts on diversity or unity or conformity in single space typed 12-point font so that all the emails are exactly the same. You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Times New Roman.
Oh, yeah.
Times New Roman, yeah.
Sure, that seems very conformist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Arial.
Ariel
seems conformist.
Corey or new?
Right.
No.
Helvetica.
Get out of that. Oh, Helvetica. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, Helvetica only. 12.5.
My Garmond band.
Yeah. Get out of here. You can find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You people are the worst.
Comic Sans only. Papyrus. That was super popular.
Yeah, I remember Papyrus.
Yeah. Papyrus days, yeah. Papyrus,
remember that one? Nice. Like, was it Chiller, where it all looked like icicles?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Wingdings.
What was even the point of Wingdings?
No point.
Welcome back to Font Talk. Exploring how to take our fonts.
Weirdly not about baptismal fonts.
Beyond Times New Roman. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.